I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but when my friend Clay Mason Bannerman and I want to impress our new lady friends, Tiffer and Mickey, we don't even have to take them to a restaurant. That's because we have an entire freezer stocked full of ButcherBox, and that includes high-quality meat and seafood that we can trust. It's so convenient. It's delivered right to our doorstep, and there's always free shipping. I mean, where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Tiffer and Mickey love it, and so will you. At least one of them is always around asking when the new ButcherBox is arriving. Sign up at butcherbox.com/mega and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/mega and use code MEGA to choose your free for a year offer plus $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where every single week we give our mega church a tiny family feel. We introduce you to members of our church staff and people from our community so that they can bless you, and I find it to be a treat and a treasure. Well, per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Mr. Gray Haas.
Shout out to the one I love. I think I've mentioned him before. Jesus Christ
Mason
and
Bannerman?
The Lord above. What?
Oh.
No.
Your friend, Clay Mason Bannerman.
Yeah, I mean, I love him like a friend.
Oh, that's cool. How are you, Gray?
I'm so great. I did this really fun thing this week with my youth who came to Climax, Hallie.
Oh, cool.
We were all set to do a Habitat for Humanity build this weekend, where we spent a few hours on Saturday watching, you know, the dads of the youth group build a house for the poor people. But, you know, there was a slight mix-up, and this is a God thing, I think. I had been emailing with Habitat, the real estate company.
Oh, no.
So when we showed up, it was actually sort of an already built condo community called the High Cliffs of Indiana. Mm. And they've got some excellent amenities, I might add. Oh. And so we ended up taking a tour through the whole thing, the open house. And then just, you know, to get my kids doing something for Jesus this weekend, I had them sing praise and worship songs to anybody who came through the door. Mm. So it was just, you know, a really powerful air-conditioned experience, which I know everyone loved, as opposed to, you know, working in the sun.
That is so awesome.
I know. You just have to plant the flag wherever you find yourself.
Well, it's a God thing.
That is true. How are you, Hallie?
Well, I mean, honestly, have you been following this, I don't know what you call it, the workman's comp kind of scandal we got going on here at Twin Hills?
No, what is that?
Well, you know what? Do you know what workman's comp is here in the United States?
We don't have it in Australia, but I think I've heard of it before.
Well, basically, if you get injured on the job by, you know, doing your job, then, you know, you'll continue to receive your pay so that you can live, you know, even if you're not able to do your actual vocation, you'll still be getting paid during your injury so that, you know, you don't end up, you know, starving without a roof over your
head. Okay, that's cool.
Well, as you also know, you know Brett Schmitz, who works down in our props department.
Oh, yeah.
He builds a lot of the sets for like our Christmas programs
and
all
kind
that.
Of long hair, spooky teeth.
Yeah. Well, he is claiming that he, you know, sustained an injury on the job that now prohibits him from doing his job. And so he's trying to collect, well, I guess he is collecting workman's comp, but it's been going all the way up the chain to the Board of Elders here at Twin Hills. And they're kind of, well, they're fighting it, Gray, because, it's sort of weird, the injury he's saying he sustained.
Well, what kind of injury did he sustain?
Well, I had invited him to come do the Walk Through the Bible, you know, small group with me, where in 1 year we read the Bible from cover to cover.
Old
so
tea, thrilling.
New tea. Yeah, we do the whole thing. And we read the Bible from cover to cover, all 66 books. And I find it to be a real worthwhile venture, but it just didn't go that way for Brett, unfortunately.
Oh, no. What? Did he fall down and hit his head on a Bible?
Well, he claims that, you know, when he actually read the Bible, that he now has a crisis of faith. And he doesn't believe anymore. And so he can't work for a church when he's having a crisis of faith and is no longer a faith-based person. And, but he's saying, you know, this injurious injury to his faith happened, you know, here at work,
by
actually reading the Bible and then realizing that it's not for him.
So he sustained a spiritual injury and now he's not able to work. And I mean, you've got to believe in God if you are going to work at a church.
Yeah. And, you know, we at Twin Hills will fire anyone who is, you know, doesn't believe in the sanctity of the Bible and the redemption of the cross and believe in God in general. And, but he's saying this, that he, you know, when he comes here, there are Bibles everywhere, which there are. And he says that's like an OSHA workplace hazard.
Oh, I see. Wow. This is a real sticky wicket.
It really, really is. And, you know, it's getting really complicated because so far we've been paying him workman's comp.
How long has he been off?
I think like 6 months or so.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, how long could this keep going? And so that's why it's gone all the way up the chain to the Board of Elders. And, you know, he claims that, you know, in the book of Romans, it says that, you know, faith is a gift of God. Mm. And so he's saying, hey, guess what? All of a sudden, God has given me zero faith. I don't believe it at all. And so he's saying, you know, according to the Bible, which is the book that Twin Hills is based on, you know, God gives faith or God takes faith away. Any amount of faith you have comes from God. And so, you know what? He says, God didn't give me any, and it's not my fault. It's that God didn't give me any. And so, you know, I can't work here if I don't believe it.
I mean, we should just really be praying for spiritual healing,
yep.
I guess,
yep.
and that God would restore him yep. to belief.
Yeah.
But I mean, I can't believe that 6 months. It's like a, that's like a vacation.
So put it on the top of your prayer list, Gray. That's where it is for me.
You know, Hallie, we actually, when you said, do we have workman's comp? We don't have that in Australia, and maybe it's a good thing. What we actually do in Australia is if you get hurt on the job, you actually get to hurt the person who's your immediate supervisor in the exact
right?
same way that they hurt you.
Oh, wow.
It's sort of more of an eye for an eye method. And so then that keeps it, you know, all in balance because your boss is going, hey, I don't want anybody to get hurt on the job because I don't want to lose my hand or whatever.
That's kind of cool. It's like if your right hand causes you to sin, cut off your boss's hand.
That's right. I mean, how do you think my uncle lost both his hands?
How did he?
I don't want to get into that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Just like God orchestrates everything that exists in the cosmos, our guest today orchestrates the Twin Hills Orchestra. It's Mr. Gino Paprika. Welcome to the program, my friend.
Thank you so much, guys. Lovely to see you.
Oh, well, you know, Chino, you are someone that, you know, is front and center with some frequency. Whenever we need, you know, the full orchestra, you are there at the front conducting. And, you know, I think it's really cool that we even have an orchestra, because a lot of churches, you know, they just do the praise and worship. But, you know, a lot of times we'll add strings to things. And that's where you come in. Isn't that right?
So cool.
That is exactly right. Yes. And I am so honored to be at Twin Hills after a long career outside the church.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm honored to be bringing music, which is God's voice, is what I call it.
Yes.
And bringing it and spreading it all over your people.
Oh, well, we love it. We love the feel of it. We love the sound of it. And if I might be totally honest with you, Gino, I get a little intimidated by conductors and orchestra stuff. I feel like it's a little bit highfalutin, you know, like this is what they did in Europe with Beethoven and whatnot. I mean, is it something that's accessible to the common man?
It is accessible and it is not accessible. And I apologize for the roundabout answer, but it is truly a gift that I have, and a gift that is very hard for others to get.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is one that I have chosen to share for a long time. I kept it locked up and I used it only on myself. And I realized that there's a whole world of people that could really use my direction. Don't be intimidated is what I'd say.
Okay.
You can just watch and be in awe.
Yeah, that's right. And it really does. I feel like when you get that many instruments working together to make one beautiful sound, it really does sort of uplift all of us to think about how awesome God is.
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought it back to God. I'll steer it back to me for one second. Conducting is exactly as you're saying, taking the many and really cooking it down to the one rhythm and the one voice or the one string that we all hear.
Oh.
And now I'll take it back to old God. And boy, is she happy about it.
Okay. So, I guess I have a follow-up to that, I guess a few follow-ups. One is, what did you do before you were doing conducting? You said you had you were doing something else.
I didn't have a title. What I would do is I was sort of a independent contractor that would go into zoos.
Okay.
And I would clean up after the animals had gone away, passed away, dead. Once the animals died, I would basically take them and mulch them.
Oh, you're like the cleaner.
Okay, so a dead animal sort of cleanup guy service, I guess.
Definitely, yes. I'm bringing it back to myself again here. I don't like guts and I do like glory, okay?
So,
awesome.
So is conducting, when we look at it, it's almost just like you're waving your hands around and they've got the sheet music, you've got, your sheet music, and you're kind of just waving your hands around. What's really the relationship there between the conductor and the orchestra? Is it sort of like God and us?
Good question. It is a secret to the art, but I will share it with you two today.
Ooh.
In privacy here.
Okay, we'll check it out.
I throw the sheet music out.
Oh,
is that right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Totally. It's a lot of dots and dashes, I'll be honest with you. But what I will do is I'll take my honing rod and I hold it up, and these brilliant people with big buggy eyes looking at me thirsty, I will hone rod them how I see fit, and they truly, truly know the music that they're about to play, and they play it.
And is that because they have the sheet music there in front of them?
That's precisely why, yes. And I enjoy it so much, and the stakes are as high as they've ever been, especially when playing for the Lord. And so I just couldn't be prouder of all those professionally trained musicians, because I certainly can't play an instrument.
Well, sure, except that white stick that you're holding. And in the same way I feel like a lightning rod draws lightning right out of the sky, I feel like your conducting stick is pulling the power of God right out of the sky and into you.
I appreciate you, and I'm glad my stick does pull God out, because it's what I run on. And it's with each little tick, dip, strip, whip, any little nip I give them, they know exactly what to play. And God is there, because where the heck else would she be?
And I'm sorry, and is that because they have the sheet music? And you
again, okay. Yes. They know exactly what they're going to play at every tempo beat, I believe it's called.
Now,
yes.
Now, I do want to ask this question. Is this, because I don't know anything about orchestras, but is this basically the template for all of them? Because I guess I'm always thinking, it doesn't really seem like the guy up there waving, I guess you call it a honing rod around. So is this basically how they all work? Is it you're just kind of, the conductor's sort of up there and the orchestra just knows what they're doing because they have the sheet music?
Yes, very good question. And again, it is the mystery of a magician and what's in the hat.
Okay.
Because is there a rabbit in the hat, or is there an egg that the rabbit hatches from? Is the question.
Yeah. Oh, is that the question?
Yeah.
Is it the question? Yes. Is it the question? My honing rod is one that I came upon. I did not purchase this. I did not whittle it. And I won't tell you where I've come upon it, but it is the thing that has been graced to me, so to speak, to whip, nip, sip, and rip the way that I spoke of before.
Well, I've heard of, you know, all the musical terms that must come from Italian or something, like sotto and retard and all of those things. But I like whip, dip, sip, nip way better. Like you were saying earlier, I think it's more accessible.
Yes, thank you. I do have a colloquial tongue, I've been told.
Oh,
and
cool.
I'll stand before you now and tell you I didn't go to Julian School or what the arts of... you know, the new arts of schools of the world. I haven't been. And so I don't know the vocabulary that they teach in those books, but I do know the music that drips off my heart.
I see.
And you know what? Jesus and his disciples were uneducated men, and they were the most powerful and awesome men that ever existed, except for maybe Matthew. He was a doctor.
I mean, you do. I have to say, I think the words that you're saying up there sound real, because you really get into it. And when you kind of, I mean, some of the words you'll yell and as you're conducting sound like Italian to me, but what are you actually saying? It was like,
oh, yes.
They're just kind of Italian sounds, I guess.
Yes, they are different guttural noises that I've picked up along the way that get people's attention. They snap up the string section. They'll whip up the air tubes. They will knock around the bang tops. They'll inject a lot of the fury that I need out of the copper colored zone. And these people are lifted by those gut sounds. So I'm glad that you noticed, and I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
Would you mind giving us a taste of those?
Oh, yes. Let me get a little space here so that I don't blow out any things. But let's see if I put myself here and then that will get them spirited. And then if I need a little softer here, over here, I'll go. And they're coming down with that sound. And then if I feel like we need more gusto from the tin cans, I'll boof. And they know. And they feel and they follow like good musicians.
Oh, I felt it.
I did too. I mean, I wish people could see. It's like you get 6 inches taller when you do that.
Truly.
It's powerful.
Yes, it does. It lifts from me. Yes, thank you.
Oh, beautiful. Now, I've heard that like on movie sets or TV sets, the person in charge, there's a whole bunch of people there, but the one person in charge is the director. The buck stops there. And I was wondering, with an orchestra, you got all these adults. Does it really all come down to the conductor? Does the buck stop there?
Oh, truly, truly, truly. Buck stops there and the buck starts there. If you think about it, all of these musicians, grown people, have to carry their big, cumbersome, weighted tools of their trade.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas I travel with a tiny, tiny suitcase straight of a honing rod.
Okay.
It leaves me so much room and so much strength to take over anything in my path.
Yeah, you got to be in charge.
I am in control, and I enjoy the control because then I can take advantage.
You know, Gino, something that I've been wanting to ask you about, and once I heard it, I was like, maybe that is the case, which is usually, unless it's the
Easter cantata, or maybe around Christmas when you all are doing the carol nights and things like that, you're usually backing up a lot of the praise and worship with the orchestra. But someone pointed out the other day, and I wondered if this is the case, is what you're playing under every single song the riff to Bittersweet Symphony by the Verve?
Ah, I've never been asked the question directly, but very adept.
Okay, because it really, it's just faster or slower, maybe in...
Exactly.
Okay.
We mess with the tempo and we soften or we harden. We slow or we quick. We toot or we push out. But it is exactly that, yes. And good ear.
Okay.
Wow, great.
Well, that wasn't me. It was actually one of the moms of one of my kids who's older than me. I wasn't even alive when that band was popular, but I do know the riff. You know, it's dun 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 dun. And you really can do it under any praise and worship song.
Is that right?
Oh yeah, try it.
That's so cool. I'll give it a shot. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Oh, it really does work. I just love that.
That is, I just feel electric. I'm on a Jesus high.
I mean, it really is. You just slap it under any tune, and it really makes it feel epic.
That is unbelievable. Now, Gino Paprika, forgive me if this is too personal a question, but are you Italian?
I am of Italian origin.
Awesome.
Yes, they came centuries ago here.
I thank God every day for the Italians because of the pizza and the fettuccine Alfredo and the meatball, you know, spaghetti and the manicotti and all of it. I love it. Lasagna, you name it. I love it.
And I do too, maybe a little too much.
Impossible. You're just a beautiful specimen of a man. Am I allowed to say that?
Oh, thank you very much. You are definitely allowed to say that.
And do you always wear the tuxedo? Because I've never seen you in anything but that. And I just think that's so... I mean, you've got the big hair, the tuxedo, and, you know, you're hard to miss.
Yes. Thank you very much for not missing me, because I'm happy to be here. I led a horrible, horrible life. Oh. My zoo days were filthy and wretched. And so I made a promise to myself, not only devote thee to God and devote thee to routing an entire orchestra into what I think they should be doing, but also make myself look presentable and really try to sparkle. So I only have tuxedos, and it doesn't mean I need many. I think I only have about 6, and I mix and match, and little bow ties, they wash fast and dry faster, and I am very, very lucky to have those tuxedos.
Yeah, and the shiny shoes, they're very dapper.
Thank you very much.
No, thank
they are
you.
They are almost leather, I believe. They are very, very close to leather.
How did you end up finding Christ? I guess I'm just trying to tie those days of working as a zoo cleaner, I guess death cleaner or whatever you want to call it,
yes,
associate with Christ. Like, how did Christ come into your life? And just to go from the lowest of low to one of the most exalted, you know, profession, at least appearance, yes. I think is amazing.
Yes. The term that I believe they use in zoo culture is ruminant ritter. And so I was addicted. I was shameful. I was just whooped all the time. And I had a family, and they would come with me to the zoos, but I overlooked them and I took them for granted. And I one time forgot where they were. And that day they were in a cage, and that was not an animal to be taken. That was an animal that was hungry.
Oh,
and
that
animal gave my family to its family.
Oh no.
What kind of animals were they?
Well, they were as close to my family as you can get. They were baboons.
Oh, wow.
I didn't think those ate people.
Yes. Well, they did that day. And I hit bottom, and I hit it pretty hard. And a young man that I met in a pool, in a Russian bath, gave me a little rod. and my life took a turn.
So,
well, it happens every day. Someone drops a toddler into the crocodile cage, or somebody leaves their teen in the primate house. And, you know, those animals are wild. They're just going to eat what food's presented.
Mm-hmm.
My family found themselves in the cage. And from what all of the other zookeepers said, they really laid down and tried to play dead, unfortunately, when they should have tried to escape.
Well, it's a very biblical death. Daniel in the lion's den, all the Christians in the Roman Colosseum being fed to the lions. I mean, you know, sometimes when it's your time. And you know what? You go right to heaven and it's way better there than it is here. So that's a comfort.
I agree.
Now, speaking of heaven, Gino, we know very little about Lucifer, the morning star, Satan himself, the evil one. We know very little of the story of why he got kicked out of heaven. But I learned in an old contemporary Christian rock and roll song called Why Should the Devil Have All the Good Music? I learned that when Lucifer was in heaven, he was the angel of light who was in charge of music. And I've heard a lot of people say, that's why rock and roll is so much better than Christian music, is because Satan's in charge over there of all the good music. And I just feel like you're someone who's proven that wrong, because your music is so incredible. I mean, look what we just did with Bittersweet Symphony and Awesome God. I mean, doesn't this show the beauty of Christ and that, you know, Satan's a loser?
Truly, truly, biggest loser there ever was in heaven. I am going to adapt that Satan rock, and I'll continue to work hard in front of every congregation that I have the joy of leading. And I think orchestral music gets a bad rap because of all of the horny, shiny, stringy, tim-tam sort of instruments, whereas you have the very sexualized electricity of instruments in rock and roll. You have the buzzy wire sound and the eccentric smash hole banging with all of the ratty sort of scream. And that's Satan music. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about, just so I'm clear, you're talking about guitars and drums there.
Yes, I believe, yes. For brevity's sake, I think that's an acronym. Drum does mean dizzy, rimmy, under mode.
Ooh, the technical term. Okay. And that's how an electric guitar feels. It feels buzzy. And I know, hey, look, Bob Dylan was a pretty wholesome folk singer until, guess what? Drugs took him into electric guitar.
Yes, if you want to play a zap-zap instrument, well, you will get something in your veins, and it won't be God.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still so curious, and sorry about the whole baboon thing with your family, but how did you make it from the zoo to, you know, this amazing leadership position of an orchestra?
Yes, good. Thank you. I almost was a baker. I also came very close to being a rascal. I came super close to being a rascal. I came into wax museum sculpting and bumped up against it. Everything kind of shooed me away. And what did I always follow? What's the one thing I always looked at and said, I could put it in there. It was God.
Awesome. That is awesome.
Right. I think that answers my question.
And since the whole baboon thing, do you have any emotional trouble with the bassoon in the orchestra?
Thank you. I don't allow the bassoon. I've limited the oboe, and I don't allow any screechy sounds of a primate to come from any of my different instruments.
Yeah.
So it's scaled down to some degree, and they understand it's because of my trauma, and they've been very understanding of that, and they learned how to play different instruments. One of them now plays the whistle.
Oh, cool.
Right. Oh, I've noticed that. I've never seen that. A slide whistle, isn't it?
That's exactly it. Yes, the long slide whistle.
Yeah, every time she does it, I think something's about to fall on my head, and I'm like, hey, look out. But, you know, I think that's interesting because woodwinds, I guess no woodwinds in the whole thing.
Woodwinds. Oh, you mean the hollow tube?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I'm sorry. I don't know the terms.
The hollow tubes have been extricated from our orchestra for many reasons, also sanitary. From what I've heard the musicians say, they must fillet the tube of the mouthpieces.
Yeah.
And that's unreal, disgusting.
One instrument in the orchestra that I've always been very confused as to its presence there is the cymbals, those big crashing cymbals. It doesn't seem like it goes. Is that what they're called?
Cymbals. Oh, the cymbals. Yes, they are the rimshap. They make a rimshap smash. That's what you mean? The big metallic golden ones made of gold?
Yeah,
the big circle, gold circles?
Yeah.
So the person that plays the rimshak is called a rimshak master, and they don't play anything else, and they can't. Those are the most confused of the orchestra people. They don't know... They don't know when or what, or they can't read anything. And so they are the ones that rely on me the most. And I squish my fingers together like that when I need them to make a rimshack. And they're very polite.
Speaking of loud noises, when you did the celebration of the life of Carmen.
Carmen?
Carmen, yeah.
Carmen?
Yeah, you know, everybody knows who it is. Hallie, Carmen.
Carmen.
Right. Oh, no, not Carmen. That's a rabbi. I think he's still alive. I hope.
You're talking about
Common Sense,
not
the
Carmen.
Sprite.
Oh, no. The guy who did the champion, you know, the devil and Jesus in the boxing match and whatnot.
Wow. Oh, epic Carmen.
When you did the memorial service and you played the champion, but it was just, I guess it was called Boom, Boom, Boom with Carmen. And then it was just all timpani or whatever. I'm not sure what you call them. Maybe you call them Boom, Boom, Boom. But everybody in the whole orchestra was just playing timpani and you played that whole album. I thought that was amazing.
Ah, thank you very much. They're called Smash Skins for your information. And these were Smash Skin artists that have been training for this memorial service, which was very important for us. We needed to really show the honor and the praise for Carmen, all of the great work he did for the musical god. And I'm glad that you enjoyed it. It was very loud. I was up against a few other people for the role of conductor.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, really? I didn't realize there were auditions for the...
For the memorial. That's cool. So then you can only get the best.
Yes. Yeah. And they brought me and the two children, two little children, in, and I really wiped them up.
Gino Paprika was played by the wonderful George Basil. You've seen him on a million TV shows and can follow him at George William Basil.
I'm Holly Laurent playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.